Welcome to Nourished by Spinneys, the podcast which promises to inspire you to eat well and live well. I'm Devina Devecha.
And I'm Tiffany Eslick. This is a space where we hope to nourish your heart and soul. On this show, we chat with leading players in the food community, from farmers to foodies, as well as health and well-being experts. It's all about engaging conversations and fresh ideas. And today, we're talking about cycling.
Yes, so in case you didn't know, the Spinneys 92 Cycle Challenge has been an annual event in Dubai for more than a decade now. The next edition is going to take place on the 24th and 25th of February, so that's just 4 months away. So in light of that, I wanted to hear from the experts on how to prepare for the race, especially for first-time riders. And that's why, Tiff, this episode is perfect for you.
Yes. I mean, I think it is timely. I have been trying to do this cycle challenge for a number of years. I think I joined Spinneys in 2020. And, you know, I was so excited to join the cycling team. I did one cycle and I was like, this is terrible. Almira, our ops director, was just so patient with me. Anyway, so I got the bike, did the cycle, never cycled again. Now, Emily, our designer and our team, you know, joined and was like, come on, Tiffany, let's do this. And so I've been sucked in again, but I'm terrified. Like 92 sounds like a huge number. It's taking me almost 50 minutes to just cycle 12 at the moment. We did a practice cycle and Emily was like, let's go faster. And I was dying. so this is going to be great because I need to learn what to eat, how I should do this. Yeah. So that I survive.
I think you will survive, Tiff. And yeah,
promise me.
You will. You definitely will. And I genuinely think now just hearing that yes, this episode is definitely for you. Our guests are people who are experts. They also started somewhere. So they have, you know, I guess, years of experience to help you and help other cyclists as well. So let me tell you a little bit about our guests. So today we're joined by Emily Mikula, who runs Mindful Body here in Dubai. She's a cyclist and also a certified yoga therapist and instructor, a certified orthopedic manual therapist, and a Pilates teacher. So lots of experience there. I'm also joined by Stuart Howison, who is the owner of Revolution Cycles Dubai and a founder of the Spinneys 92 Cycle Challenge. So we've got a lot of information packed in this episode for you. So let's first find out how both our guests began their journey with cycling before we get into all the details. Here's Emily.
I had never really been on a bicycle up until about 6-7 years ago.
Okay, wow.
I've always been very active, yeah. Playing all kinds of sports. But I had no interest in cycling.
Fair enough. Then
I had my second child. And my husband had been cycling for years with Stuart and his club. And I wanted to lose the last bit of baby weight that I'd gained for my second pregnancy. So I joined him on a ride. So I was on a hybrid bike. I had sneakers. I had a camelback. I had the whole, you know, the whole gear.
Yeah.
And that's how I started. And I loved my first outing. I went with my husband. We did maybe 10, 15 kilometers that first day, and I loved it. And then I went a second time, and I didn't love it so much because then I realized it's actually really hard.
Yeah.
But I persevered, and I had a lot of people around me to support me. I was part of clubs and just stuck with it, even though it was hard. I stuck with it. And the more I stuck with it, the more I wanted to do it, to the point that now I do it almost every day, I'd say. And that was about 6-7 years ago when I started.
I started riding my bike probably the age of 6-7 years old.
Okay.
Got my first race bike. I think it was 9 or 10 years old. And just got into it and just got hooked into the sporting side of it. Grew up in South Africa. Biking to and from school was probably the catalyst that got me fit. With a 20 kilo school books on your backpack. And yeah, just used my bike as transport and then found that I was pretty good at riding my bike. And that just developed into getting involved in racing. And then moved to Dubai many years later. I was with ARN. I was with Dubai 92 for a year. And it just moved into the fact that there was no cycling races going on for the expats. And I thought, well, let's be creative and see what we can do. And we put together the Spinneys Dubai 92 Cycle Challenge, you know, obviously with the link with ARN for 92 kilometers, signed it up and boom.
Here we are.
14 years later.
Yeah, and the build-up rides have already started for the next edition of the challenge, which is also why we're here today to just talk a little bit more about, you know, tips, tricks, strategies for cyclists, perhaps first-time cyclists as well in the challenge. So let's get into maybe just an initial look at what people need to do when prepping for race day. Are there any things that they need to keep bear in mind while doing that?
You know what, the biggest thing about if it's your first race, and I think this goes without saying, it's like you're going to get there, there's nerves, you're anxious, you're freaking out because this is something you've never done before. Chill out. Enjoy yourself. You know, it's a fun outing. You know how to ride your bike.
Yeah.
If this is your first race, you're not going to be there to win it. Yeah. Just chill.
Turn up with friends.
Yeah.
That's how I did it the first time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I had a great time. Yeah, with friends, with no pressure.
Well, I think everybody puts too much pressure on themselves for this sort of thing. This is...
On the day, you mean?
Yeah, on the day. I mean,
even a few days before. Yeah. Like it just keeps, you know, mounting. Yeah.
But it is about having fun. I mean, none of us are going to win the Tour de France or the Giro Italia. We're here to have fun and ride our bikes. And all the training's gone into it. You've probably done your build-up rides or you've done your 35Ks.
And I think you've really nailed it saying, like, just keep it fun because it's so easy to put so much pressure on yourself and it kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
We're here to, you know, just enjoy ourselves, like you said, you know, and you can be a competitive cyclist and you want to do well and, you know, finish in the top, you know, whatever your goal is. But really, this is not our job. This is for fun.
Yeah. And in the lead up to the race, are there typical training routines or training schedules that you would recommend following? Obviously, we've got build-up rides for people to work on that. But outside of the build-up rides, what is it that cyclists perhaps should be doing to train?
Riding your bike.
Every day?
Well, it depends on how serious you're taking it. I mean, it is one of those things that people can get, I think, obsessed and overzealous about things. And I don't want to like drag the theme of this podcast onto being about just having fun, right?
Yeah.
So there is, as Emily said, there is definitely an advent of certain people that take it proper serious. They're there to be in the top 10% and that's cool. But then there's the majority of us that are out there to have fun. So to answer your question, go out, ride your bike as often as you can without making it into a chore.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to enjoy it. So if it's once a week or twice a week or three times a week, you got the build-up rides to see where you are. So we've done the 35K, the 45 kilometers around the corner. If you're not doing 45 kilometers yet, you've still got a couple of weeks to get yourself to that pace. And then there's a month's break before we go to the 65.
Yeah.
I think you'd know how you'd feel.
I think it's all about consistency as well and building up, as the name says, build-up rides. But outside of the build-up rides is building up to the distances.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if you are going, again, for fun, you're going to be probably going faster than what you usually do. And so you need to have the stamina as the kilometers get more and more over the few build-up rides to actually finish the race, you know, feeling happy. So consistency and building up over time. Some people like to do that on their own with groups. Some people like to be coached.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm coached because I like the structure. But everyone's different.
Yeah.
What else should cyclists be doing in general anyway? You know, perhaps, you know, is it Pilates, for example, or other kinds of core exercises to build up their strength? I run a little bit on the side. I've done a half. That's my max so far.
Well done.
Thank you. And I had to obviously build in a lot of like strength sessions in addition to the training I was doing for the actual half. So what is it like for cyclists?
I'd say it's the same because the thing with cycling, while it has some great benefits, it's still you doing more of what you're already doing most of the day, which is you're sitting and it's all forward, right? You're cycling, the legs are going forward, your hands, like you're not moving your body in a lot of different directions, right? And while it makes your legs stronger, the upper body, not so much.
Yeah.
So I would recommend a couple of things. Strength train so that you can have stronger muscles. You'll become more efficient on your bike. So that's really helpful on race day. You'll climb better as well if that's your interest. But then in addition to cycling, cycling is your sport. It's your fitness activity, right? But then there's movement. So what do you do outside of cycling, especially if you are a busy person who works? Maybe you have a family, you have other things going on, but you still want to try to fit in what I call movement snacks throughout the day.
Okay, right? I like that.
So maybe it's Pilates, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's a bit of stretching. It is really whatever you enjoy doing outside of cycling, whatever that is, do more of that.
Eating ice cream?
Well, you got to cycle for something, yeah, though,
absolutely.
Right?
You got to earn the rewards.
Well, I was going to ask about food next, so that was great. Thank you.
Doing additional exercises and different exercise out of cycling is really good, and it does lead back to being better on your bike, you know, and doing different forms of cycling.
How do you mean different forms, though?
So Em's new coach, right? And it's brilliant. She's got a new coach, and I think it's really good because she's taken the skill set that she had for a road bike and now like kind of thrown her into an area that she's not so comfortable with, which was riding a mountain bike.
Which was fantastic for skills development.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes, you know, it's not that you're left to your own devices, but you learn a lot of the things on your own, yeah, or if people do help you out, yes, but you don't really get a lot of skills development, yeah, unless you go out and look for it. So that's the benefit of having a coach who develops those skills, because if you're more confident in your skills, you're a more confident rider, you, yeah, will ride better.
I have an adverse effect of what I've always done, road biking and mountain biking. And growing up in South Africa, there's a lot of hills.
Right.
So my body and my core fitness was very different in SA to what it is here. The roads here are very, very flat. So I'm not getting out of the bike and doing any climbing. And the metaphysics of the body when you're climbing, you're using a lot more of your core and a lot more of your upper body strength than just your legs. So I had been finding for years that my lower back has been getting worse and worse and worse. And you know, one of my mates is involved with Fitness First, and he said, go and try this and see what it is. And it's exactly what Em does. It's the reformer Pilates.
Yeah, I teach on the equipment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can actually move with resistance. So it's a good way to create strength, but also we use the equipment for mobility, flexibility. So it's all in one. It's pretty useful.
So now I'm finding that my lower back pain is, you know, almost gone. So yeah, that just like links into that whole circular economy of, you know, not just riding your bike, going forward motion the whole time. It's very repetitive.
Sometimes we get injuries or niggles because of the amount of repetition, which is overusing certain muscle groups and not using them in the various ways. We're designed to move in so many different ways. So when you can do that, whatever discipline you like to do that through, then do it. I think you can't lose doing that. There are no negative side effects to doing that.
Yeah. It sounds like quite an integrated approach, really, to it, as it seems to be most sports.
And it doesn't need to take you a ton of time, right?
Yeah.
If you want to spend most of your time on the bike, that's great. But just do a little something, you know, even if it's once a week, go to the gym, go strength train. Add a little bit, couple minutes of stretching at the end of your routine rather than just stop the bike, get in your car in your aircon, and then go home.
Yeah.
Because you feel stiff.
I think that's probably the biggest thing people don't do.
Yeah.
And casual riders that are learning how to ride their bike says nobody stretches afterwards.
No.
Nobody cools down properly. They just, as you said, jump in the car, AC on.
Yeah.
Maybe a hydration or a protein
and I think
shake.
Coming back to newer riders, I would say that sometimes the trap we fall into is because we're new and we're excited as well. Like we just want to go hard all the time.
Yeah.
But actually, like learning to appreciate and do less will actually give you more in the long run. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about the process. This is what I love about cycling. It's not, you know, there's the end result, your race, but it's the process of how you get fitter. How and that you can stay in the sport for a long time.
You know, you mentioned that newer cyclists perhaps don't always stretch that often. Are there any other mistakes, whether new or seasoned cyclists, that they're making that, you know, you can advise them to avoid?
Yeah, avoid riding your bikes from anywhere else other than Revolution.
For me, the first thing that comes to mind, and this is something that I did for a long time and probably still do now, is not eat enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you will know in a race if you've not eaten enough, because you're not going to feel good. And you probably need to eat more than you think you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of the right things.
Of the right things, yeah.
Yeah. Eating a little bit of ice cream is a good treat. It's there's nothing wrong with that after you've burned 1,500, 2,000 calories. I think that Em's 100% right. People will think that the best way to lose weight is to go on the bike fasted and don't have a breakfast and just go on riding hard, burning all your muscles.
But you need fuel. So
100%.
You need fuel, exactly.
100%. It's like getting in your car without any gas in the tank or any battery.
So it's really eat more and more of the good things, yeah. And we can talk about what that is,
yeah.
But also recover more, because the gains, they're not made while you're on the bike going hard, they're made while you're recovering. So getting a good night's sleep. I think people underestimate getting a good yep. night's sleep. It's so hard to do anything if you've not slept well, yep. but go ride a bike if you've yeah. not slept well,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. You know, in nutrition, you know, I do want to come back to that, but are there any other mistakes that maybe you want to highlight before we do that?
I think that people end up going too deep into buying equipment, and then you know, it's like a fad. Wow,
yeah.
This must be good, and spend 50,000-60,000 dirhams mm-hmm. on a bike. I mean, as a bike shop owner, yeah, go ahead, feel free. I'd love
yeah,
you to.
Yeah.
But I think just saying is like to humanity out there, like think about what you're doing. If it is something that you want to enjoy, build into it. Get into it slowly. A faster bike isn't going to make you a better cyclist.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because you own a Ferrari doesn't know you yeah. mean you know
yeah.
how to drive
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it's like first develop the legs and then get the extra gear.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
yeah. I think that from an outsider's point of view, and there'll probably be a lot of listeners that will go, they're thinking about getting into cycling, but it seems like such a niche, clicky sport that it's a foreign entity and they're scared to get into it. Mm-hmm. And coming to most of the bike shops around town are pretty friendly and welcoming. But if you come into Revolution, sit down, have a cup of coffee and just reach that wall. Yeah. It's a figment of your imagination.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that way about different sports or different yeah. activities. You know, like running, I mentioned, for example, I was scared, but the community has been amazing.
Absolutely.
And similar with other sports I do. So I think that seems quite common then.
Yeah.
It's scary until you get into your
yeah,
first.
Yeah, until you take that first step, yeah. cross over that threshold.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't think that you have to buy, it's like when you go scuba diving, you don't have to buy the scuba equipment first off. It's the same as riding a bike. You don't have to buy the bike. I mean, we rent out bikes. We do it all the time. I suppose running's different. You don't borrow shoes.
No.
But it is just come in,
yeah.
have a chat, see where you are, what you want to do. If you've got a modicum of fitness, 5K is not a big ride. I mean, it's not a bad ride at all. Go
yeah.
out, jump on the bike for 5Ks. Your first ride was what, 10K?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And that develops, that's that little,
yeah.
little hint
it's
of
it's like
this
what
is
you
cool.
said at the beginning, like sparking the
yeah.
passion.
Yeah.
That's where you start,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
and then see where it takes you. But I liked what you said about the community
yes.
as well. Is this community, especially since COVID, is even larger
yeah.
than it's been. And you meet some wonderful people, you make lifelong friends through sports. And
yep.
then it's a similar mindset. New
the shared experiences.
Yeah. And you learn from each other, and there's so much to learn.
Yeah.
And just the networking from, yeah. you know, we're all about getting involved with each other and befriending and having a good time. But it's also for people that are out there looking for connections. Yeah. The networking that happens on a bike, it's unreal.
You wouldn't think it, but it does. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is genuine. I think it's every second day I'll see the team out from Spinnies out riding.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a community initiative that a lot of CEOs should take on to. You know,
100%.
I see Sunil, the CEO,
yeah.
he's out at the front and he's got a team of girls and guys behind him, whether they are head of marketing or head of media or head of shelves or purchasing or store development or the shelves packers or the cashiers. I mean, I walk into the Spinnies grocery stores and the guys around the cash desk or behind the deli counter will go, hey, we saw you out this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. It's like there's just that community and that networking. Yeah. Sunil's the CEO, but he's riding with all the guys
in his
team.
It's a leveler. It's a unifier.
It's absolutely
yeah.
a leveler. Because you're all doing the same work.
Yeah.
And in the end, even though, you know, you can practice alone, you can train alone. I mean, it really is a team
for sure.
sport.
Yeah.
For sure.
Can't really get anywhere by yourself.
No, that's true. We'll be back in just a minute to talk cycling nutrition and why both Emily and Stuart find cycling so nourishing. That's right after this short break.
Let's talk about our tomatoes. Our Spinnies Food tomatoes come from Ladoria, tomato processors based out of Italy since 1954. They source their tomatoes across the provinces of Campania, which has a lot of great volcanic good soil, and Apulia, which is close to the sea.
Yes, the tomatoes are grown in natural conditions and then processed within 24 hours of picking through the summer to lock in that freshness that you enjoy with our tomatoes.
We love working with partners like LaDoria. In 2016, they became the first Italian tomato company to produce a sustainability report outlining their carbon dioxide reduction goals. Here's Diodato Ferraioli, who represents the third generation of this family business.
We have been able to map our CO2 consumption throughout all our extended supply chain, and we're putting into place several activities in order to reduce our impact. For instance, we are setting up new photovoltaic plants to be always less reliable on energy coming from non-renewable sources.
In 2022, the company recovered 98% of its food waste, which is just fantastic. So the next time you want delicious tomatoes, you can shop them at spinneys.com or grab a can in our stores.
Welcome back. You're listening to Nourished by Spinneys and my conversation with Emily McCullough and Stuart Howison as we gear up to the Spinneys 92 Cycle Challenge in February. Let's go back to nutrition. You know, you mentioned, like we said, we need fuel for this sport or any sport really. But are there any nutritional needs, I suppose, for cyclists that are unique to the sport? Or what would you advise people to be eating when they are training or when they're going into race day, for example?
I think proteins are obviously the big one that you need to be eating. I think from a nutritional side, looking at things that are available, readily available in our Emirates, obviously dates. Yeah, dates are incredible because of the proteins that are in them, the sugars that are in them, the electrolytes that are in them to help you stay hydrated. I think probably the biggest mistake that people make out here is just not drinking enough water. Mm. That you just don't drink anywhere near enough water or with enough elements in them. You know, make sure that your water has got a good sodium mineral content in it.
I think that also comes with experience because I remember when I first started riding, like it was so daunting to pick up my bottle. Like
you rode your Camelback for
years,
for
a long time. Yeah. And, like I would lose 5 years of my life every time I had to pick up my bottle, you know. And then somebody helped me. Taught me or sort of tricked me into picking up the bottle. And you do it once, you do it twice, and then you get more comfortable because when you're going fast and you're stressed out because, you know, you're in a race situation, it's not always easy to drink and to eat. So for me, just circling back to the nutrition more on the bike now, during your race is like if you can, you need carbs, right? Yeah. Because you're going to be using up a lot of fuel. But if you're not so confident eating, first of all, eating's difficult on the bike when you're going fast. It's not, you know, it's different if you're on an endurance ride. Mm. But put your carbs in your water because then you can drink your carbs. So that's a good start.
Yep.
And then look at having some gels.
Yeah.
I like gels. It took me a long time to figure out what I liked. I think this is the thing with nutrition on the bike is a lot of it, even though there are some guidelines, a lot of it is very specific to what you like and can tolerate, what your stomach can tolerate, but also what your taste can tolerate.
It's how your body is, and say how your body reacts not only on the bike, off the bike, but on the bike once you're under a bit of strain, bit of stress. See how your body's going to react. Are you going to get heartburn from it?
Yeah, or even in the morning of the race, you know, we're always told, well, have a hearty breakfast, have some oats with banana, with a bit of sugar. So like but not everybody can eat that early or that much. So for me, when I find that it's early, I'll just have a shake because it's just easier for me personally to digest.
Yeah.
Some people can have a meal two hours before, and some people will eat something maybe more like 45 minutes before, you know. So as long as you don't eat too close.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what do you guys eat before a race? Do you eat that morning? Do you eat the big meal the night before? For you personally?
Yeah, I tend to have a carb-based meal. Probably I'll have something big at lunch the day before.
Okay.
And then maybe I'll go a little lighter actually in 100%. The evening. And in the morning, but it's taken me time to get used to getting up and doing the things. But in the morning, I really don't deviate from what works for me, which will be having some oats with banana, blueberries. So like slow sugar and fast sugar with a bit of honey, kind of combination of both. That works for me.
Yeah.
Again, it's taken me a long time to figure that out. Yeah, it really has.
Yeah,
I think it's really a work in progress.
Yeah, and it's always going to be tweaked.
Yeah.
Yeah. As new things come available, new things, you start tweaking it, trying things out. Mm. There's a lot of new products that are coming out. Science is constantly evolving. Our events start at, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So you're getting up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You've just had your dinner a couple of hours before that on a normal day. So a big lunch is, you know, when you get your carbs in, if it's your pasta or your salmon or whatever your normal fuel is, a light snack for dinner. Hydration up 2-3 days beforehand, up extra bottles of water, get the mineral content up. And in the morning, my morning is pretty much the same as them's. It's a banana, some protein powder, bulked up with water, berries, some peanut butter, and some honey. Yeah. Just put it in the blender, zap that for a couple of seconds, and that's easy, straight into the body. And then, of course, an espresso.
Yes, obviously.
Caffeine is king.
I would say that whatever is considered healthy, right? We all know what's healthy in the diet, right? With the right combination of carbs, protein, and fat. But now you're burning a lot of calories because you're cycling. So more of that, right? So don't forget to eat after your ride. I personally don't necessarily eat right away after my ride. Sometimes I need to just calm down a bit and let my stomach kind of let me dictate when it's time to eat. I've eaten on the bike. But as long as I have the right amount of protein and carbs during the day, like after my ride, I'm okay. Sometimes I'll have a chicken sandwich right afterwards, something with avocado. It's such a personal taste. It really is.
Oh, avo on toast after a ride with some egg.
So good. That's so good. But once in a while, it's like, you know, you get these cravings.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, I need a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
It's like 6 a.m.
But that's another one that people don't do is replenish what they've burnt. Yeah. You know, your body, once you've gone out for an hour, 2-3 hour ride,
you have to eat. As soon as you're riding, you're burning. Yeah. Right. So probably like sooner rather than later, you want to have something. Yeah. But remember that once you start having a gel, you got to keep having a gel, right?
And so like you finish a 2-3 hour ride, your muscles are actively looking for protein.
Yeah.
Your body's looking for protein. And if you're not going to give it a fast source of protein, it's going to go for the easiest protein to get it, and that's your muscles. And it's just going to start.
So it's great to get it through food. But if you can't, you don't have time, whatever the reason is, get a protein shake.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And how else, would you recommend recovery after a big race or a big ride? Sleep is something you mentioned already, but is there anything else that people should do or try to do?
Oh, if you can stand an ice bath and jump into an ice bath, if that's your pain tolerance and you can do that, that's pretty good for the soul, I believe.
Okay. Gosh, I tried it. It's darn cold.
Yeah. It's proper. It's really good for you. I mean, it just heightens everything up. Massage is good if you get a good deep tissue massage.
I go down that road. Yeah. That works for me. I like getting a massage because also like you can down regulate, right? Because remember when you're riding, and then especially if you're racing, you're so up regulated. I mean, you're like everything's just go, right? You're so wound up, and the hormones are going crazy and the heart rate and all that. But then you gotta calm down, right? So some people will just rest. Some people will stretch, go to a yoga class. Maybe you're winding down and just going for breakfast with your friends, right? Yeah. I like getting a massage when I can. And if I can't actually get to a massage therapist, I have my own set of therapy balls and I'll do self-massage.
Okay, yeah.
And I love that. And that contributes the pressure, right, from massage or therapy balls allows your nervous system to just start to calm down a little bit. You have to be able to find that rest.
Yeah.
Period. Because you can't be wired all the time. We're already wired. Forget cycling. We're already wired throughout the day.
Yeah.
Right? So this is it's positive wiring, but
you
got to find those times where you're down regulating.
And you're self-yoging at the same time with your therapy balls. It's kind of like your zen
point. Yeah, and your breathing. I would say underestimated breathing.
Okay. How soon after a big ride should you or can you get back on a bike?
Next day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So your body produces lactic acids that start to pool up. And I'm not saying that you have to go and do like a hard ride on the Saturday and then the Sunday you can do another hard ride. Just go out for a nice easy spin with your mates. You know, it's not about getting anywhere fast. You know, it's just about spinning that lactic acid out, flushing it out, And then getting to the coffee stop, having a coffee or a bottle of water. And yes, you can go out the next day and reenacting with mates that maybe weren't on that same ride with you and just have a chat.
Enjoy that social aspect. Absolutely. But I like to go ride the next day. I feel better for it, but it'll be an easy ride. Yeah. Just spinning the legs.
And are there any myths about cycling that you want to bust?
Ooh.
It's a big question, clearly.
Yeah. Myths about
cycling.
But
you know how you said with, I guess, some people perhaps being scared about getting into it, or people who've started and perhaps aren't maybe doing their research or talking to other people who might have some misconceptions about it. You know, what would you tell them?
Okay, I'd like to say it's not a dangerous sport. I mean, that's a misconception. People think it is a dangerous sport. I think that everything in life has a danger aspect to it. I mean, driving your car from A to B has a danger aspect to it. But it's not as scary a sport to get into as you think. I mean, it's such a welcoming sport. You join us on Al Qudra on a Saturday or Sunday and go for a little ride and just see what the people that are there.
You won't be alone and you'll definitely find support.
And you won't be the slowest.
I've been the slowest a couple of times.
But you won't remain the slowest.
No. But you got to start somewhere. You got to be okay. Yeah. You have to be okay to sometimes be the slowest. Maybe sometimes you'll also get dropped. Yeah. That happens, you
Absolutely.
Know, but that's okay.
It's a good motivator.
Yeah, it's okay.
But the thing is that you get fast quickly. You know, it's not like soccer or cricket or tennis golf. Take golf, for example. I know people that play golf for years and they're still rubbish at it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not saying we're all great at cycling now, but you'll see your distances increase like rapidily. So
true.
The first ride was 10K, then the next one will be 12 and 15 and 20. And because our roads are so flat and smooth, you'll be doing 100Ks within 6 to 8 months. You can do a 100-kilometer ride.
But then I'd say you get stronger as well because it's flat.
Yeah.
You have to pedal all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a great way to get stronger.
You're not going downhill.
And there's wind. Right. Yeah. So just give it a chance. Give it a try.
Yeah.
Facilities here are so good.
Yeah.
Oh, we do have incredible facilities.
They really make it easy for you to enjoy it. Yeah. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah. So I wanted to end our conversation by asking a question that we ask all our guests. What is it that nourishes your soul?
For me, I would say being in nature. I must have gone out on the Al Qudra track hundreds of times, and it still just gives me that peace, you know, especially in winter, it's quiet, and you see the oryxes and, you know, the deserts, you know, sometimes, you know, you might think that it's boring, it's always the same, but it's beautiful. And you get the sunrise or the sunset, and it's so good for your mental health. So that's what soothes my soul.
I'd have to concur with what Em's saying that it is. I mean, living on Al Qudra every morning, getting out, or every second morning, whatever it is that I can, get out and go ride my bike, just watching that sunrise over the desert. And people will say, but yeah, isn't it boring riding in the desert in the same path the whole time? So I answered that by saying to somebody, well, you live in Cape Town and you've got a big mountain on your left and the ocean on the right. The ocean is blue. It's just blue. It's just blue. It's just blue, right? The desert is, it's a sandy golden color, but it's the same as the ocean. It's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. It's constantly moving. And the benefit we have in the desert is we regularly see the oryxes out. We see the Patagonian mahas. There's one for you to Google. Out on the track.
I saw one this morning.
You saw one? Awesome.
That's right.
If you're lucky, you get to see a hedgehog. There's the desert foxes, the rabbits. Yeah. It's just, there is a plethora of wildlife out there. The dubs, the big lizards. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are massive. There's so many things out in the desert that just keep me coming back.
It's like peeling the layers, because you can ride and just look straight ahead, just in front of you. You won't see anything.
Yeah.
If you just look up, take your time, look around at the scenery. There's so much to see. It's the best.
That for me is probably the big one. Yeah. But I do get a massive kick. The endorphins are huge. For when I set off an event and see if it's like on the weekend, we had 850 riders for Build Up Ride 1 going off. The event went to plan. Everything was perfect. Everybody came back. And just seeing the smiles and the euphoria in the riders who just completed a good ride. I am jealous that I haven't done the ride, but the food goes into my soul going, they come out going, that was awesome. We had such a good ride. And it's not so much 10% up at the front. It's the 90% at the back that are out having their first ride, 300 odd new riders coming into the event, and they're just beaming. Like,
yeah. That I mean, that awesome. Feeling, you know, of doing something for the first time, yeah. it's the best, right? After that, it's just one more time, which yeah. is great. But the feeling of doing something for the first time, nothing beats it. And it's like what you say, you know, the endorphins, that yeah. cocktail of like feel good, good mood. What I love about cycling is that it sets you up for the rest of your
Absolutely.
Day.
I had a good ride this morning. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah. I'm glad you're in a good mood.
I'm in a good state.
I'm in a good mood.
You're in
too.
A good mood too? Yeah, yeah. The angry French girl.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this episode because honestly, to me, it made cycling outdoors seem less scary. Well, for me anyway, as someone who does cycle indoors only. And what I also loved about the conversation with them is that it highlighted what a welcoming community it is to be a part of. And that just seems so nice.
I hope other people listen to this and think, yes, I'm going to sign up because it's not so scary. And if you just take it, you know, bit by bit and build up, follow a few of the tips, you'll be okay.
And
this, I'm saying this to myself, like, yes, Tiffany, you'll be okay. You'll be okay.
This episode was brought to you by Spinneys and is hosted by me, Devina Devecha, and Tiffany Eslick. We're produced by Chirag Desai. You can find out more and sign up for the Spinneys 92 Cycle Challenge at cyclechallenge.ae. And don't forget to follow Spinneys on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more. You can also visit us at spinneys.com, where you can shop for fresh produce and a variety of local and exclusive products.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next episode. See you then.